Welcome to episode 461 of the VEASAN Market Insights Podcast. I am your host, Josh Applebaum. Happy Monday, everyone. A new week begins. Last week in November before we flip our calendars to December. And I'm sure if you're like me and your fiance is already thinking about Christmas music and playing All I Want for Christmas Is You and Mariah Carey and getting the tree ready, the holiday spirit is upon us because Thanksgiving is over. I had a great weekend getting back to Western Mass, hanging out with my mom and dad and the fiance. Small little Turkey Day gathering, but had a great time. And they got a lot of snow back in Western Mass in the Berkshires. So me and my dad, we watched the Beatles documentary, which was pretty awesome. The new behind-the-scenes footage, I think it's what, Disney Plus now or something. But that was unbelievable. And then we shoveled a lot, and we ate a lot, and we watched the Bruins. So that's pretty much what I did over the weekend, guys. Hope you are doing great. Another week begins here. We're going to recap the weekend here with the NFL. Kind of a public weekend. I was disappointed because really my two top system matches, looking at those short road dogs or those road dogs seven or less, didn't get many of those, and some non-conference unders flew way over. But either way, guys, bit of a public weekend. Favorites went 6-5 against the spread. Overs went 6-5, and some of these popular bets ended up coming through for the public. So not as big of a contrarian weekend as I was hoping, but that's okay because we're grinding and we got a model. We got a blueprint. We got a big Monday Night Football game tonight. Seeing a little buyback on Seattle now at this point, so we'll break down this big Monday Night Football matchup. Also going to the NHL. Got three bets here in the NHL. I got six in the NBA, big NBA night. Then I got five in college basketball. Being selective here in college hoops, and really what I've noticed in college hoops is as volume bettors, it's rough out there because a lot of these unpredictable moves and weird things and different tournaments, I think that's kind of what's stopped us from really getting some traction here. So I'm really trying to be extra disciplined with my college basketball, knowing that, hey, on the back end, we're going to get conference play here coming up soon. And that's really when these systems and these conference road dogs and these different little angles, dog to fave, stuff like that, that's when they really, really start to come through. So just keeping an eye on right now and an eye on the future when it comes to college basketball, guys. But a big, big day ahead, getting back into the swing of things on a Monday. Reminder, if you haven't done it yet, sign up for the VEASAN newsletter, VEASAN.com/newsletter. All you gotta do is plug in your email, and from then on moving forward, you will get my Market Insights column every single morning, giving you sharp reports, Adam Burke's blurbs, great betting content every single day, Andy McNeil's daily NHL column, JVT's daily NBA, Dave Tooley's ATS reports, promos for legal sports books, and a bunch of helpful links to guide you in the right direction. So it's free. Sign up if you haven't done it, VEASAN.com/newsletter. And then, of course, you want to take that next step in your sports betting journey. Sign up for a VEASAN All Access membership. That way you'll get every PointsBet Weekly magazine that we offer, giving you best bet picks, power ratings, articles, stat splits, all that good stuff from all the different kinds of sports here. I was a little sad we didn't have any biting this weekend, but that's okay because we got it coming back this Saturday, so I'm excited for that. Font against Aldo, so if you missed biting, don't worry. It's coming back to us here. But also with the All Access membership, every best bet email multiple times a day, letting you know best bet picks from everybody at VEASAN, the guests and the hosts. You'll also get all of the everything behind the VEASAN.com paywall, stat splits, power ratings, low bets, higher dollars, BetMGM, DraftKings, you know, 40% bets, but 80% money in a line move. This is where you get it with our All Access membership. You also get 20% off the store. We have a promo right now. I think the Black Friday one's still going on for $99, everything now until the Super Bowl. That's really the one that I would take advantage of. But give it a shot. You're looking for more data, more insight, more information. I think that's going to be the place to go there. VEASAN.com/subscribe. And then all you got to do here is do the 10-day free trial. If you like it, you let it renew monthly. If you don't like it, you can just, you know, cancel before 10 days are up. You won't be charged, but I think you will. I think it's a good spot here to take advantage of the busy season when it comes to betting on sports. So we got a lot to get to today, guys. Again, VEASAN.com/subscribe. If you haven't done it yet, get on Twitter. Twitter's where the betting combo never ends. It's where we can, right now, before I was getting ready for the pod, I saw a tweet, Max Scherzer signing a big deal with the Mets. The Steve Cohen, he's spending some money there, flying around money like it's going out of style. He just picked up, who was it, Eduardo Escobar, Starling Marte, Mark Canha, and then he just signed Scherzer to the Mets. So Scherzer's 36, I think it was a three-year deal for $130 million. Anyway, Twitter's where you can find out all this stuff, but really for us as bettors, breaking news, breaking injuries, starting goalies, scratch pitchers, COVID stuff, popping up with the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, Mike McCarthy going to miss this Thursday night game. Dear God, are you going to make me bet on the New Orleans Saints again? Yeah, the Cowboys open -6 Thursday night. They're down to 5.5 with a lot of COVIDs and positives and coaches who can't play or coach in that game. So did see some New Orleans +6 down to +5.5 money. But this is where Twitter can help you, especially in the NBA. That's really key when you get load management or guys being out or a star player being ruled out, and you can jump on a number before the odds makers adjust the line. That's where Twitter comes in. But get on Twitter, follow at VSiN Live. You can follow me at Josh_insights. You can always email me, josh@vsin.com. Questions, comments, suggestions, whatever I can do to help, you just let me know, of course. But that being said, guys, let's recap a little bit of the weekend. Let's talk about Monday Night Football. I'm excited for, one sport that's doing pretty good right now, NHL. So we have a couple system matches with our favorite system here. That home favorite off a win, opponent off a loss. Now 48-16, 75%. So we got a couple matches here tonight. Big NBA night as well. And a little bit of college. But looking back toward yesterday, guys, and I would mention one play that I love this weekend. How about the Michigan Wolverines getting them 7.5 on the pod and seeing that line get down to 7, and the Wolverines finally, Harbaugh getting that big, big win. It took a while, but he got it. So I love seeing Michigan come through for the late sharp contrarians there for the crew. But looking back at yesterday, guys, kind of like I mentioned, kind of a public day. It wasn't crazy in terms of favorites and overs, but favorite 6-5 ATS, over 6-5. So public cast a lot of these big bets. What really annoyed me, Tampa Bay and the Indianapolis Colts. I had the Colts +3 there. And what annoyed me is that last touchdown by Leonard Fournette. That would have been just, two up the clock, kick the field goal, you get a push. Instead, Fournette scores a touchdown, they win by 7, and you lose. So that was a big win for the public. Another big public one, Cleveland-Baltimore. Sharp move toward Cleveland. I got Cleveland +3.5. They ended up closing at 3. Primetime dog, sharp reverse line movement. And what happens? They lose by 6, even though Lamar Jackson throws 4 interceptions. So public cleans up on Baltimore. Another big public play, Green Bay Packers. Oh my God, was that just a terrible game to watch if you were like me and had the under 48 windy under, which flew way over. And then the Rams, who are just pathetically terrible. Like Stafford, I get he's probably hurt. Aikman kept saying he's hurt. He's got all these issues. He's really tough, yada, yada, yada. But Stafford, man, just mistakes, pick sixes, turnovers, and then Green Bay at home does it again. That was a sharp move to the Rams, dog to favorite, +1.5 to -1.5. But just like that playoff game, Green Bay at home, Lambeau, public didn't outsmart themselves like maybe I did, and the sharps did. But again, you tip your cap and, public gets you there with Green Bay. Another one really annoyed me was these sharp moves. And again, Minnesota was kind of a value play to me. I got worried there, +4 because I got the 3.5. I thought it may get back down to 3. It went up to 4. But Minnesota, San Fran had a lot of stats there. Cousins good as a dog, Jimmy G and Shanahan bad as a favorite. Cousins, if you didn't see this, is unbelievable. He went under the guard to snap the football. He literally lined up under the wrong guy. So poor Cousins now. That's going to be a meme moving forward. But you end up losing by 8 there, not covering the number. Now, and then the other one was Pittsburgh, guys. Pittsburgh, +3.5, or some were 4.5, 4 down to 3.5. A lot of 3.5s were juiced up toward the Pittsburgh Steelers, +3.5, like it may get down to 3. It didn't, but it was juiced up in favor of that road divisional dog. And what happens? Pittsburgh gets rolled 41-10. So it was these short road dogs that really the story to me yesterday were these short road dogs not covering. Cleveland not covering. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, there were a bunch of other ones. Ironically, the Jets did cover. So as terrible as they are, +3 down to +2.5. Everyone on Houston, that was one that came through. Another one was the Giants. That was kind of a sneaky, like a line freeze-ish type play. 3.5 kind of stayed 3.5. Some books went up to 4 there, but they did come through for you. You did see a line move on Atlanta as well. That was an under to a non-conference under, 47.5 down to 45.5, which came through. But Atlanta was -1, ticked up to -1.5. So that was that non-conference favorite. With a little bit of line movement with Atlanta. When Cordarrelle Patterson came in, you saw that line tick up because at one point it looked like it was maybe getting down to pick'em-ish, but crept back up with Cordarrelle Patterson. The other one that I noticed, if anyone took Miami late, that was a late addition for me because Carolina was a really popular bet, and they were like -1 up to -2, 2.5 even at some shops. And then late movement brought Miami down. Again, that movement on game day coming in when limits are raised. So if you saw Miami dip, 2.5, 2 down to 1.5, 1, Miami ended up rolling for you there, winning 33-10. And then another positive was Denver. Anyone who had Denver in a teaser, 2.5 to 8.5, or maybe you took the 2.5 or the 3, that was a classic divisional dog at home. Everybody betting the Chargers, like 3 out of 4 bets, yet the line pretty much stayed where it's at, or even dipped again, 3 to 2.5 toward Denver there. So some hits, some misses, guys. But the one thing that I did notice is looking at these favorites or looking at these home teams, basically, we've seen this year that really home field advantage, just like last year with COVID, been completely minimized completely. But with a lot of these public teams doing well yesterday, it was because these home teams, revenge of home field. They went 9-5 ATS this week. That's combining a lot of these Thanksgiving Day games. So that is notable to me that you're kind of seeing maybe a little reversal here or some regression back to these home teams. So just a couple things to look out for moving forward. But really, my moral of the story is those short road dogs not coming through, +7 or less. But that's okay. They've been great all year. So we'll see if we can bounce back for a big week ahead. With that being said, guys, let's dive right into Monday Night Football. And then also, I want to tell you a bet that I just made today because I think the line's going to fall and get worse. And I think now is the time to jump on it. So we'll hit on that in 1 second. Let's start off with a little Monday Night Football. Very interesting line movement for this game. So let's kind of set the stage. We got the Seattle Seahawks, who, by the way, if you're on me and took the over 9.5 win total, I don't think we're going to get it this year unless something crazy happens. But two teams with sub 500 records, but they're kind of trending in opposite directions. So if you look at the Seahawks here, guys, not the Seahawks we expect below 500. They are 3-7 straight up, 5-5 ATS. Started the season 2-2. They're just 1-5 since. Russell Wilson really struggled here, or has struggled since coming back from his injury. Seattle just fell to Arizona. Don't remind me, PTSD from great closing line value and losing straight up, but Arizona beat the Seahawks 23-13 behind Colt McCoy. Remember, they were 5.5 point favorite in that one. So you have a below 500 Seahawks team that's going in the wrong direction. On the flip side, the Washington football team, who I had high expectations for, great young defense, Chase Young year two, struggled out of the gate. They've actually kind of turned it around a little bit. They're 4-6 straight up, 3-7 ATS, but they've won their last two games here. So if you look at recently, their last game against the Panthers, 27-21 on the road, you win 27-21 as a 3.5 point road dog. Game before that, remember, they beat Tampa Bay 29-19 as a 10 point dog. So these last couple dog spots with Washington kind of trending in a better direction. And I think maybe kind of what you're seeing in the NFC East is kind of the Cowboys struggling. And now with COVID, this kind of crazy NFC East is coming a little bit more wide open. So if you're a team like the Washington football team, you're like, oh, you're, what are you now? 4-6, like no shot here. Dallas is 7-4, but not far behind with Washington. I think what I'm getting at is there's an opening here. We kind of thought Dallas was a juggernaut, and maybe they still are once they're healthy and the COVID stuff, you know, kind of stops, but they've lost their last two. They've lost, I think, what, 3 of their last 4. Dallas is kind of struggling. This gives maybe some hope to these NFC East teams that are below 500, but kind of on the heels of Dallas. So again, two below 500 teams, Seattle on the downswing, Washington on the upswing here. Now, in terms of where this line opened and how it moved, a lot of these early look ahead numbers were Seattle -3.5. So again, look ahead numbers are really interesting to me because it gives you a snapshot of kind of the perception of a team, obviously, you know, looking before. And then when you get to the current game, you know, is there a big adjustment? Like Gamble and Lou, who I love, does a really good job of look ahead numbers. Like if look ahead line was -7 and now the line is 4, then okay, that favorite has a lot of value because just, you know, a week ago, before you have the memory of a goldfish here with NFL bettors, you know, they should have been favored by a touchdown. Now it's only 4, therefore you lay the point. So Lou does a great job of that. So early look ahead was Seattle -3.5. We saw early in the week a lot of movement toward Washington. Washington flipped, and I think the true opener was really -1.5 for Seattle on the road. It flips to Washington -1.5. So I'm saying, okay, dog to fave, good line move here on the Washington football team. But I would mention you're getting a little buyback here on Seattle. This line is now back down to a pick 'em, and I'm seeing some shops that are hopping the fence to Seattle now -1. So I'll tell you why this is kind of a tough game for me. It's a tough game for me because a lot of my betting philosophy is buy low on Seattle right now. They're not playing well. They're struggling. You're never going to get Russell Wilson, you know, at pretty much a pick 'em number against a sub 500 team. That's a buy low spot on Seattle. Also, I'm like, I don't really want to back Washington right now because they won two in a row and they're kind of maybe a little bit overvalued at this point. So that's what kind of worries me. And if you like buying low in Seattle after they've struggled and not played well, then I totally get it. There's definitely a sound theory to that. I'm going to go Washington tonight, guys. That's my play. Washington, I think you're kind of walking a tightrope here in terms of, do you go money line? Do you take a plus one? Do you wait and try to get a 1.5? That's kind of the angle that I'm looking at. But I'll tell you why I like Washington. Number one, all movement has kind of been in their favor. I know it's going back a little bit to Seattle now at this point. But at BetMGM, 66% of bets are on Seattle tonight. So just from the perspective of, you know, I kind of thought maybe the public would say, wow, you know, Seattle stinks. We love Russell Wilson, but this team, there's something wrong with them. And Washington, yeah, they won a couple in a row, but you know, they're just getting lucky here. Public is saying, give me Seattle all day, falling into that, you know, I don't know, again, I'm not going to say the word trap, but just kind of the mantra of, you know, giving me Russell Wilson in a primetime game at a pick'em, take it all day. So public is all over Seattle. So this is what kind of, maybe kind of gives me a little caution to back Seattle, even though there is a buy low spot here and some late movement in their favor. But if you're walking into a bar and 2/3 of bets, 66% are wearing a Russell Wilson jersey, I'm going to grab that Heinicke jersey. So Washington is contrarian in a heavily bet game. A lot of these books that are now moving to Seattle -1, we're now getting a lot of these dog matches to Washington +1. Primetime dogs this year, 22-13 ATS, 63%. Dogs in general, 56% ATS. Conference dogs, 7 or less, 64% ATS. Short dogs, 6 or less, with a line freeze or a line move in their favor, are 56% ATS this year. So all these matches would be with Washington. Now, another caveat here, or maybe something that kind of sent me over the top a little bit, or made me kind of a little bit more confident in Washington, is if you look at these Monday Night Football home teams, guys, this year, they're 10-1 straight up. Now, again, I'm not talking ATS. We know primetime dogs have been great, but these home teams, just do they win or do they lose? They're 10-1 straight up. They win these games. So Washington at home, playing better. Again, I'm concerned, and looking back on it, if Seattle rolls, it's like, yeah, well, they were super undervalued there because they've struggled so bad. But I'm kind of leaning on my guy Mike Pritch as well, co-host on Betting Across America. Coolest, sharpest guy I know, who really talks about a lot of issues with Seattle. And obviously, he played for Seattle. He knows them very well, and he likes Washington tonight. So if Mike Pritch, the Seattle Whisperer, isn't big on Seattle, then I'm really not either. You're giving me a contrarian Washington football team only getting 34% of bets. Monday Night Football home teams are 10-1. Now you're getting +1. All these system matches are with a dog and primetime dogs. I'm going football team. I haven't bet it yet because I saw it creep back to one. So I'm either going to take the money line, take the +1. But really what I'm going to do is see if I can get a 1.5. Because if a lot of this Seattle money floods in, Russell Wilson, it's Monday Night Football, you got to sweat Wilson. You remember the Legion of Doom and the, you know, recently, you know, just a few years ago, what a powerhouse Seattle was. If that public narrative and public bias and love continues to pour in, you know, this afternoon and tonight going into this 8:15 kickoff, then maybe we see it creep to 1.5. Now, if it gets to 1.5, I would say that's probably a great teaser spot for Washington. 1.5 up to 7.5. You obviously need a dance partner here for one of these upcoming games, but that could also be a consideration here. I lean a little bit to the under. You know, we have seen one thing happen here. These primetime unders, they're only 18-16 on the year, but they're 16-8 over the last 2 months. Remember that? I think those primetime overs started like 8-0. Washington's 5-5 to the total. Seahawks are 8-1-1 to the under. This total did tick up a little bit. I think it was 46.5, now up to like 47. I know Dave Tooley liked the under 47 in this game, so I definitely respect Dave. Clay Martin, the lead ref here, is 57% to the under. It's going to be cold, like 35 degrees. Not crazy wind, around like 5 miles an hour, maybe 5 up to 10. Nothing crazy like that. But I would kind of lean under in this primetime game. But my one play is going to be Washington, guys, and that is going to be either a Washington, you know, +1, +1.5 money line. We'll see how it goes. One tip I did want to mention, if you're at a book with a pick 'em, compare the pick 'em price to the money line price. You might think it's the same. It may not be, though. Like, I'm looking at one book right now at a pick 'em -110 both sides, but on the money line, football team is -118. So again, you're betting on the same exact outcome, just win the game. But you want to make sure you're saving some juice regardless of what bet type you use. So always remember that. Don't just assume that the pick 'em spread and the money line are the same, you might have a little difference in terms of juice, 5-10 cents. And of course, always save as much juice as you can. One bet that I put in today, guys, which I'm a little concerned it might end up being a public play, but I'm going Patriots +3. Patriots are going to the Buffalo Bills. Monday Night Football, going to be a great game here. A lot of these books open Buffalo Bills -3 or even -3.5. A lot of these books are down to 3, and all these plus 3s are -120, -115 on the Patriots. So I think this thing gets down to 2.5. It's going toward the Patriots. I'm going to take the +3 here. You get these short road dogs, 3 or less, 63%. This year, dogs off a blowout win. Last couple years, 60% overall. Road dogs with a line move, divisional dogs, primetime dogs, all matching with my Patriots. So I grabbed the Patriots +3. And I think this thing probably gets down to 2.5. And I wouldn't be surprised if that thing creeps back even further toward New England there. So that was an early bet that I made looking at the Pats here, which is going to be a great game Monday Night Football. And I would say Pats +450 to win the AFC. This team's got some mojo going. So I'm feeling good about my Patriots once again. But there you have it, guys. Just started the pod, recapping a little bit of this weekend. Not the dog weekend that I was hoping for, but we're going to continue to grind. Talk about Monday Night Football, looking at an early bet for NFL Week 13. But we got way more to get to. So don't go anywhere. Going to finish up strong episode 461 of the Market Insights podcast. We got to talk NHL. We got to talk NBA. We got to talk some college basketball on a big, big Monday. Continuing to grind, trying to finish up strong in the month of November, because we got the holidays coming up. We got Christmas coming up. We got bowl games. The playoff races are heating up. It is a great time to be getting down on sports. So don't go anywhere. Going to finish up strong in episode 461 of the VEASAN Market Insights podcast with me, your buddy, your host, the guy you grind in the arena with every single day, your buddy, Josh Applebaum. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, everyone, we are back at it after starting the pod, recapping the weekend here. Again, pretty much a public weekend, in my opinion. 6-5 ATS favorites, over 6-5. A lot of these big popular plays ended up breaking through for the public. So we'll tip our cap. It's tough being a public bettor. So we'll give them a couple units here and know that we're playing a long game, and we'll get it back here shortly. But started talking Monday Night Football. Again, guys, it's a Washington football play for me, just depending on money line, +1. Can you get a +1.5? Do you want to get a teaser if it goes to 1.5? I think I'm just trying to get I'm on Washington. I'm just trying to get the best number on the football team right now. But that being said, guys, and again, talk Patriots early +3 if you like them. I think against that Bills, Monday Night Football should be a crazy good heavily bet game. I think that thing's getting down to 2.5. So if you like the Patriots, the key number 3 is out there for you. Let's start talking NHL because, guys, I fully admit it's been a grind here, recently, last week and a half, something like that. But one kind of silver lining is the NHL. NHL's been pretty decent for us recently. I kind of like seeing the NHL, kind of get back to those ways that we used to really, really enjoy and kind of cash a lot of winning nights with the NHL. So quietly, slowly, NHL's been kind of my guiding or saving light here recently. But I got a few plays in the NHL, guys. First one for me, and we got only 4 games tonight. I got 3 plays overall. First one, I'm going to go Seattle, and I'm going to hopefully release the Kraken. Let's go, Kraken. You had a little bit of line movement away towards Seattle, but I'm going to still go Seattle here. You know, a lot of these books open around -135. They're kind of down to -130, so they've crept down about 5 cents. Nothing huge here, though. But my angle for Seattle, number one, is their recent play. So the Kraken, who struggled early, they're only 7-13-1, but they're 3-1 their last 4, and they've had a couple really good wins recently against Carolina, Washington, Florida. I mean, they're going through a road trip here where they're starting to get some mojo going. If you kind of know hockey or just sports, or you guys know this, but sometimes you come together on the road as a team, it can be kind of a galvanizing, camaraderie type situation. So Seattle on a really good road trip here, beating some good teams, 3-1 their last 4. Whereas Buffalo, 1-5, their last 6, and they've really struggled. And they kind of started off pretty decent, surprisingly, and they're really starting to fall off. So my angle here would be, number one, Seattle playing better, Buffalo not playing well recently. But if you also look, this is a really not a huge rest, but a tired angle to bet against Buffalo. Buffalo is playing their 6th game in 9 days. So that's a really tough stretch where you're really not going to have probably your best legs here tonight. And you also look at, Buffalo What are they? They're 6-5-1 at home. I know Seattle hasn't been great on the road, 2-7-1. But I think you're kind of banking on maybe Seattle's performance here recently, kind of pacing them and against a tired Buffalo team. So I'm on Seattle here, guys. I lead the minus 135 here with Seattle. And then the next two guys, next two plays, are two favorite systems. Home favorite off a win, opponent off a loss, 48-16, 75% overall. I'll make it really, really simple on you. The other two bets in those matches, Montreal and the Winnipeg Jets. So let's start with the Jets. This is a big number, and anytime you see a big number, it's always important, especially if you're a new listener. Bet to risk, not bet to win. What does that mean? It means you're always risking your one unit every single play you make, regardless of the price of the odds. So what does that mean? It means right now that the Winnipeg Jets are minus 300, a really, really big number. They opened like minus 250, I saw, all the way up to minus 300 now. Big move in their favor. We talk about these home fave off a win, opponent off a loss. Again, 75% this year. A sweet spot if you're a favorite 200 or more off a win. 27-5, 84%. Absolutely crushing it. Big faves 200 or more, 79%. Conference home fave, 67%. All these matches on Winnipeg, and it doesn't hurt. Winnipeg 7-2-1 at home. Arizona 2-6-1 on the road. They're 4-17 as a dog. But what I meant by bet to risk, not bet to win, is that if you're betting Winnipeg tonight with me and you're going to sweat the Jets, you're not risking three units to win one unit. You're just risking your one unit and trying to get a third of a unit back. So again, when you see a minus 300, it doesn't mean you risk three units to win one. You're just risking your one unit to get a third back. Why is that the case? Because if Arizona wins, you don't want to lose three units. You want to just lose your one unit. We never want to lose at all. But again, this is how bet to risk, not bet to win saves you. I know the payout is going to be smaller, but also your risk is much more minimized. So again, bet to risk, not bet to win. I'm on Winnipeg minus 300. And then another play. I'm a Bruins fan, but I'm going to sweat the Habs tonight. The Montreal Canadiens. Montreal opened around minus 120, kind of pretty much stayed where they're at, minus 120, minus 125. But that would be a, again, home favorite off win, opponent off a loss, 75% this year. Home favorites, 65% this year. But it's also a bet against Vancouver, a rest versus tired. Vancouver, second leg of a back-to-back. So Vancouver lost to my Bees last night. Great Bruins comeback if you sweat the Bees with me. You look at Montreal at home, rested. Vancouver, second leg of a back-to-back. And you also get Vancouver 3-8-1 on the road. They've really struggled on the road, whereas Montreal is rested and ready to go. So system match with our favorite system, and it is a again, a rested home favorite versus a tired dog. Tired dog's tongue hang like sleeve of wizard. Any of my Borat fans out there? I know Darush, if he's listening, Borat guy. But that would be another match. So I'm going Seattle minus 135, Montreal minus 120, and Winnipeg Minus 300, bet to risk, not bet to win. Let's flip it over to some NBA, a couple NBA games that caught my eye for tonight, guys. Number one, I'm going to walk the tightrope. It's not going to be fun, but it'll be fun if we can cash. I'm going to go a very low total under Magic and 76ers. Total open 208.5. It's down to 205.5. You know, kind of just kind of seeing how these plays have developed here recently. You always think, hey, buy low, take the over. I've fallen into trouble there. I hope this continues. We'll see what happens, but a lot of these low total unders have still been going under. If you look at these totals, 210 or less to the under, they're 26-21, 55%. If they fall at least a point, they're 54% this year. So I'm going to go under 205.5 for the Orlando Magic and the 76ers. I know you're not getting the best of it, but I've seen sharp money and no buyback, really. No buyback on the over. So maybe this falls even further. Maybe gets to 205. All three under refs, Curtis Blair, Matt Boland, and Nick Bukert, all between 51-54% to the under. And you're also getting Philly, the 27th slowest team in the NBA. Orlando is number 30 offensively, and Orlando is 4-1 to the under the last four. So can we get a 107-91 game? You know, something like that. Let's get a low scoring one. That's also kind of your big spread under type match. But I'm going under 205.5 with Orlando. Next one, I'm going to go over Denver. Denver and Miami over 208.5. It opened 207.5. It's up to 208.5. You have three over refs here with Pat Frere, Kevin Cutler, and Aaron Smith, all between 49-54% there to the over. You also have Denver 4-0 the over the last four. Miami is the number seven offensive efficiency team in the NBA. And it's kind of notable to me because public actually likes the under. I think you kind of think about these teams as really good under teams, Denver 11-8 to the under, but Miami's actually 12-8 to the over. And Miami is, I think they've cashed a few overs in a row. I know Denver, we mentioned 4-0 the over the last four, but I think we get some points there. So I'm on that Denver over 208.5. Hornets and Bulls. I'm going to go under here, guys. I know it's kind of worrisome. These teams can put up a lot of points, but I see really heavy betting over. This is almost 70, 80% of bets on the over. You're thinking about all these, you know, star players on both sides. They'll just score a million points. Maybe they will. I'm hoping they don't. But the total opened 225. It's down to 224.5, even 224. Chicago is number six in defensive efficiency. And one system that I really like this year, guys, when the total is 220 or more, take the under. 69 and 47, 59%. And it's notable to me, again, heavy betting over, yet the line fell. I'm going to go under. I got under 224.5 there. You might find a 224 now. But give me that Bulls under play. Next one up for me. This one jumped out to me. Cleveland Cavs, Dallas Mavs over. Open at 207.5. It's up to 210.5. You do have, Dallas Mavs last eight games, 6-2 to the over. You have three over refs, Barnanke, Ford, and Kogut, all between 52 and 54% to the over. And I think we might get some back and forth there with this Cavs team that's a little spunky. And it's kind of a shorter spread, 6.5. Maybe get some back and forth. But I'm on that Mavs over 210.5. A couple more. This is a money line play for me. I'm going Wizards on the money line. They're on the road at the Spurs. The Wizards open -3. They're up to 3.5. So you got movement toward the Wizards. We know road favorites have been decent this year. They're 55-49, 53%. Nothing crazy. But the Spurs are 3-6. At home this year. They've struggled at home. Wizards are rested and ready to go. You have some road refs here, Brent Nansel and Courtly Kirkland, 52-54% to that road team. So I'm going to go Washington here on the money line, win the damn game. I'm not going to lay the points. I took the -160, just win the game. See if the Wizards can get it done for us. Last one for me, an overplay, New Orleans and the Clippers. Open 210.5. It's embedded up to 211.5. I got the over 211.5. What jumped out to me, so number one, Pelicans, they're 28th in defensive efficiency. They don't play a lot of defense. They're easy to score on. That's what you love if you're going to bet an over here. But I also like anytime two teams are really like in one direction under teams, yet the total rises, or two big over teams and the total falls, kind of that fishy doesn't make sense situation always kind of piques my interest or catches my eye. So if you look at New Orleans, they're 15-7 to the under. Clippers are 12-8 to the under. Clippers have, 4-1 to the under their last five. And we have 3-2 to the under Pelicans last five. So if they're both under teams, they've been trending under, and the total opened 210.5, and the public's leaning under, then why did this thing rise? This looks like a contrarian over opportunity, guys. So I'm going to sweat that Pelicans-Clippers over. Over 211.5. So for those playing at home, Magic under 205.5, Denver over 208.5, Chicago under 224.5, Cleveland over 210.5, Washington Wiz on the money line -160, and the New Orleans Pelicans and Clippers over 211.5. A little late night sweat there, 10:30 sweat. And then guys, college basketball. We ain't done yet. A couple college hoops games I just wanted to mention. Again, big slate, but I'm erring on the side of very, very selective. College hoops has been crazy volatile, crazy unpredictable. Maybe it's just me. I don't know if you guys are experiencing this as well, but it's just been tough to gain any traction. And I think once we get out of kind of these tournaments, neutral courts, crazy different things, we get back to kind of home road and the classic conference matchups. I think, you know, I know nothing lock or guarantee, but I know and think and I'm confident that college hoops were going to get hot here. So only got five today, but I tried to be very selective. And do you ever notice this, guys? Like when you're really selective on a sport, you're going to have like a few games that you want to bet, but you laid off, erring on the side of being selective. And of course the ones you lay off of are going to win. So I always love that. But there are a couple I wrote down and scribbled out again. But anyway, guys, five of them here. First one for me, add a game, extra game where line movement is meaningful. 6 o'clock or 6:30 PM Eastern time game, Hartford and Appalachian State. I'm going to go over here. Total open at 129. It's bet up to 130. I see some shops creeping up to 130.5. We have Hartford 4-1 to the over. We have App State 4-2 to the over. And also a little bit of a Ken Pom edge. Ken Pom has Hartford, App State, a total of 134. So two teams to the over. It's an add a game extra game where line moves are meaningful because public can't even find this game on their app or their betting sheet. And yet we're seeing this movement to the over, even though it's completely, or not completely, but you know, really, really heavily driven by respected money who maybe have a better number on this total. So my first play, Hartford going over 130 here, Hartford App State. Next one for me, blueprint play, Kentucky Central Michigan, big spread, high total, underplay. Central Michigan, Kentucky, total open at 148. It's been bet down to 147. You may be able to shop around, find a hook with a 147.5. If you can, grab it. But my angle here, KenPom's got a 146. So a little bit of an edge there with KenPom. But this is a big spread, high total under. We have Kentucky favored by 30.5. So when you are a big, big favorite, when you're up by 40, you know, with 12 minutes left in the second half, are you going to continue to, what's the Simpsons one? Like, stop it. He's already dead. Like, can we stop it? They're already dead here for Central Michigan, Kentucky. Please, you don't need to kill him and score a million. But, you know, theoretically or historically, we see these big spread unders come through where you get up big, take your foot off the gas, and you just want to run the clock out and maybe show a little respect to your opponent, not like my 07 Patriots where just piled on the points. Please don't do that tonight if you're Kentucky. But anyway, guys, big spread, high total under, that's falling. Again, KenPom 146. I'm on Kentucky under 147.5. Next one for me. We haven't done this in a while, and ironically, I think it was Saturday, or what was it, Friday? There were a couple plays, and this is what's really infuriating to me about college basketball. Like, I've consistently done KenPom sound the alarm. I don't even care. I'm just going to play it. A couple times, the sharp move wins, and it beats KenPom alarm. And then I go with the market, and what was it on Friday, guys? I forget what it was. Was it Virginia Tech, New Mexico, San Diego State? I forgot what it was. But if I just went with KenPom sound the alarm, they all would have won. Instead, I went with the market movement. So, again, it's like it's hard to catch a break here with college basketball. But guess what, guys? Let's get back to our roots. Maureen Chase, are you out there? Sound that alarm. Woo, 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 woo. KenPom, sound the alarm. Who wants to be an Iowa Hawkeye fan tonight? I am on Iowa plus 2.5. They're playing Virginia. A lot of these books open Virginia minus 2, up to minus 2.5. So it looks like there may be some little Virginia money there coming in. It's not a big public like Iowa play. It's kind of down the middle. And we're slightly toward Virginia here, I guess, a bit. It's not like a huge, like everyone on Iowa line going to Virginia, like a crazy reverse line move or fade the Trinity dog or anything, but I'm going to go KenPom sound the alarm. KenPom has Iowa winning this game by 1 point. We're getting a plus 2.5. To me, that's value right there. KenPom has Iowa ranked 21 in the country versus 47 there, for Virginia. And if you look at, kind of the ticket to hopefully winning this bet, it's Iowa's offense. This is going to be a huge contrast in style because Virginia is super slow, only averaging 61 a game, giving up 53. Iowa averages 97 points a game. So let's go Iowa. Sound that alarm, plus 2.5. I'm on the Hawkeyes. Only two more for me, guys. Next one, Loyola Marymount. I'm going to go money line here. Loyola Marymount is playing, Grand Canyon. A lot of these books open, minus 3.5, minus 4. Kind of stayed there where it's at here for Loyola Marymount. But this is kind of a big KenPom edge. I'm going to go money line minus 170, Loyola Marymount. KenPom's got him winning by 6. So I didn't want to lay the points because a lot of these, some of these fours got down to 3.5. Maybe there was some Grand Canyon money coming in. But again, KenPom has a 6-point game. And we can just go money line, win the game, minus 170. KenPom has Loyola Marymount ranked 96. And he's got Grand Canyon ranked 135. So let's go. Loyola Marymount, just win the game, minus 170. And then last one of the night, guys, kind of a big discrepancy play. It's not a KenPom sound the alarm, but it's kind of like a KenPom toot the horn, toot, toot, because it's a pretty good edge. Cal State Fullerton, last game of the night, Wyoming against Cal State Fullerton. Wyoming, very, very popular bet, getting almost 90% of bets across the market. They opened minus 5 on the road. They've stayed minus 5. I saw some 4.5s get up to 5, but pretty much staying at 5. Why is this a good edge? Because KenPom has Cal State Fullerton losing by 1. Greg Hoops Peterson has Cal State Fullerton losing by 3.5. Well, he's got, you know, Wyoming minus 3.5. But we're all inside a plus 5. So if we're getting a plus 5, and what makes me like this even more is, again, heavy, heavy, heavy betting on Wyoming. I think they're undefeated. What are they, 5-0 or something like that? But public just sees kind of a short number with a good record team. And yet, that line hasn't really moved at all. So line freeze, KenPom's got him losing only by 1. I took the plus 5 with Cal State Fullerton. So plays for today for me, Hartford over 130, Kentucky under 147.5, Iowa, woo, woo, plus 2.5. Loyola Marymount -170 and Cal State Fullerton +5, baby. That about does it. Another day, another dollar, another grind in the arena. Let's see if we can finish up strong here the month of November and hopefully get some mojo going as we start a new week and get ready for the holiday season. I also wanted to wish happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah started last night for those fellow members of the tribe. Light a candle for hopefully cashing a ticket. But anyway, guys, if you enjoy the pod, if it's helped you cash some bets, if you feel more confident in the arena, maybe you're avoiding parlays, maybe you're flat betting. If the pod has helped you in any way and you want to make my day, let me know you appreciate it and get it as a stocking stuffer, a Hanukkah gift, or a gift for that sports better in your life that parlays everything and has no model or blueprint and just bets on gut instinct. Buy my book. It's called The Everything Guide to Sports Betting. Pick up a copy at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It would mean a lot to me, guys. Got everything I've learned in the industry for over a decade now. Tips, strategies, systems, bankroll management, how to place a bet in person or online, all included. The Everything Guide to Sports Betting. So grab one. It would mean a lot to me, guys. With that being said, whether I see you at the Borgata in Atlantic City, Twin River in Rhode Island, the Brook in New Hampshire, the new Foxwoods or Mohegan Sun, newly legalized Connecticut sports betting, pretty soon Mobile in the great state of New York will be happening soon. And I think Florida Hard Rock is still up. I don't know. I got to check with my buddy Devin Hernandez. But wherever it may be, or of course, the good old South Point where the true grinders get down, where Billy Walters sends his number runners. And don't forget about Circa, the sparkling stadium swim, getting a victory burger at the end of the night. Wherever it may be, guys, there's one play that got me going this weekend. Michigan. Michigan Wolverines in the points. Finally getting it done with a sharp move there. Super contrarian. Home conference dog, heavily bet game. Flash me that Wolverines +7.5. First one's on me, next one's on you. We're going to post about the book, Sweat Sharp Contrarian Plays, all night long. Good luck, everyone. Hope to see you on Lombardi Line here coming up, and then Betting Across America, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Me and Pritch will be recapping all the action this weekend, looking toward Monday night tonight, looking ahead to some of these Week 13 numbers. But I wish you a great, happy, healthy, and prosperous Monday. Let's see if we can get off to a good start. And remember, when I see you at the window, give me a high five, and don't forget to tip your ticket writer. Have a great Monday, everyone. Good luck, and I will see you at the ticket window. Good luck today.